simply elated to be alive and to be here. I do have a word from the Lord, and I'm telling you, this is one of them sermons where you may want to get the tape, because I've said it myself. I believe I'm going to get the tape after this sermon preached here, so I can keep all these notes fresh, amen. Put it in the CD player on in my truck, and I'm riding around listening to it again and again. I want to call your attention to the book of St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Also, Joshua, the first chapter, and the fourth chapter of Joshua as well. Joshua 1, starting with verse 2, and Joshua 4 and 14. But also, my main text is coming from Matthew, the 14th chapter. I want to start at verse 25. Thank God for our musicians, Brother Tank and Brother Jonathan. Thank God for them. And they make it easier. I mean, we could have church, but it just makes it easier also to have church when we have musicians. And thank God for the choir, for the praise team, rather, and for you. Be awful hard to preach to the four walls. Now, I could do it, but be awful hard to do that. Glad to have you here this morning. St. Matthew 14, I want to start reading at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Everybody say troubled. When they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, the Bible said, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. If you would, raise your right hand and repeat after me. It's not failure. It's not failure. It's the fear of failing. Fear. Amen. It's not failure, but it's the fear of failing. Also, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Joshua chapter 1. I want to start reading at verse number 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That's Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. And I have a secondary subject that I may use, that I will use, in this, and it is, there is nothing to fear except fear itself. If you are a child of God, there is nothing to fear except fear itself. If you are a child of God. Now that may kind of be like an oxymoron to some of you, but you'll see what I'm talking about in just a few minutes. God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, but he has given us power and love and peace and a sound mind. So since God has not given us the spirit of fear, it has come from somewhere other than the throne of God, from heaven. And so one of the things that I want you to do this morning as I start out this sermon is to understand that every time the spirit of fear comes upon you, it is not something that God has given you, but it is something that comes to hinder you, to stymie you, to cause you to second guess God. I want to deal with this spiritual albatross called fear. I want to deal with this thing that's been hanging around the necks of most Christians all their lives. A lot of us are stuck in the what if syndrome, the what if phase of life. What if I don't get the car? What if I don't get the house? What if I don't have children? What if I have to spend the rest of my life by myself? What if I don't have any money? What if I fail? This spiritual albatross called what if, it's been hanging around our necks for too long. And God is saying it is time to get out from under the weight and begin to trust me. This albatross, and in its literal sense, it is an oppressive burden. A spirit of hindrance is what the Bible calls it. Webster calls it an oppressive burden. This thing, we got to get out from under this thing, because this thing here will stop you from believing that you can receive the blessings of the Lord. This thing will have you thinking that you're cursed and you're never going to make it out of where you are. That's why so many young folks in the world today, and even elderly folks now, their hearts are failing them and their faith is leaving them, because they think they're going to be stuck in the now. But all you got to do is keep living and put one foot in front of the other and stand on the word of God and serve God, and I guarantee you things will change. Amen. Because everything is subject to the Lord, but it first and foremost starts off with what God says when he says, seek ye first the kingdom. And that's when you got to seek God first. With everything that you do, you have to put him first. And we can look around at the congregation today and see that a lot of our people, as well, and this probably, well, that's not probably, it is the same problem in other churches as well. They're not putting God first. We fail to realize that we don't have very long to get this right. That's why it blows my mind when we squander opportunities to get in the presence of God and to worship him. And because you got to understand something. You never know if this is the moment that God's going to break the back of the devil or destroy the yoke. And so many times we miss the yoke-destroying anointing because we're out of position, we're out of place. We're somewhere we don't need to be. And so instead of in a place where the yoke can be broken at, we're in a place where it can be strengthened at and enhanced. Oh, I can't get no help with this. And so I hear God saying, he says, son, talk to my people and tell them. He said, it's not failure, it's the fear of failing that's stymieing most of us. Because we'll step out by faith. When we hear the word, we'll respond to it. But what do you do after you respond? Is the thing in particular that we must deal with. Because so many of us will step out on the water and start walking, and then we'll get out there doing what God wants us to do, and all of a sudden we'll get froze. And we'll start taking notice of the wrong thing instead of I'm walking on the water. But we'll start taking, wait, I'm on water. It's boisterous. The wind is blowing. I'm not supposed to do this. Who said you're not supposed to do that? Jesus said, come. So if he says, come, I'm coming. It's not dependent upon me. I'm to obey the master, the creator, the great I am. So this albatross, this oppressive burden, this hindrance to believe, this thing that comes to stop us from receiving the blessings of God through outward distractions, this thing's got to die. We have to get rid of this yoke of oppression, this spirit of hindrance that has come out of hell to stop us from doing the desired will of God. We must make up our mind that I am going to serve God irregardless of what's going on in my life. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe in him. That's how great victories have been won. That's how great saints have been built. One of the reasons why the movement in the 60s was so powerful, because we realized that the people who were in power didn't want to change things. So we had to go to another source. Had to go beyond them. And so when we got on our knees and start praying and start responding to the word of God, if my people, Lord have mercy. And so we not only began to listen and obey the word of God, but we began to put people in positions that they needed to be put into. Past religious persuasions and denominations and reformations, we began to put the people in power who were ordained for those positions. And when those people came to power, all of a sudden now, you got a young man that really didn't have the experience of some of these old preachers and old leaders, but he had a passion on him, a fire on him. And he was eloquent because God created him for that moment. And when he got up and said, I have a dream, all of a sudden the heart of America was gripped. Powers that be had to back up and say, my God, we must take notice of this. And they thought through killing him, they would stop the dream. But it just made the dream stronger. That's what happens when we step out on the word of God and we begin to do what God tells us to do, and we're not concerned about what's going on around us. That is the mindset that once again, we as a people must come to. And I'm talking about the people of God. Amen. Come to that point where we're not concerned about what's going on around us. We just want to know what God wants to do in us is being fulfilled through us. Amen. It's not failure that's holding us back. It's the fear of failing. And I want to talk to Bible believers today. We're going to kill that albatross this morning. We're going to snatch that rascal from around your neck. We're going to put our foot on it and walk on it and stomp the very life out of it this morning. Because we're not going to allow fear and the fear of failing to handicap us or cripple us or stop us from stepping out on faith. Listen to what I just said. Did y'all hear what I just said? If we get stuck in this, in the mud, if we get stuck in this spiritual quandary, where we don't want to step out by faith because we're afraid that we're going to fail, we will never do anything for the Lord. We'll always stay on the safe ground. But I hear God saying, tell my people, they have nothing to fear except fear itself if they don't listen to me. We must change the way we think about changing things in our lives. That didn't sound right, did it? But it is right. We must change the way we think if we want to change things in our lives. Listen to me, young people, Tank and Monique and Quentin, and all you young people in here. I call her Kizzy, Kendra. But all you young folks in here, Dr. Stewart, all the way down to Ivan and Nicholas and all these other babies that's in here. All you young folks, listen to me. You must find your place in God. And then you must respond to the call to go. It has nothing to do with your mom and your daddy. Now, you may love them, your grandmother and your granny and your grandfather and those other mentors in your life. But what you have to understand is
In order for you to ever be happy, you must do what God created you to do. And if you don't do it, you will never be happy. Amen. Jump from bed to bed, drinking alcohol, smoking dope, running after positions on jobs, traveling all over the world, doing all the things you feel, you feel fancy and foot free to do. But it is not going to quench that thirsting, that yearning down in your heart. All it'll simply do is build entrapments for you and cause yourself to be enslaved. Let me get to this here. And so we must change the way we think by changing the culture of our minds. Jesus asked Peter, why didst thou doubt? Why you doubted, Peter? You were walking on the water. I told you you could come. You recognized it was me. I have authority over the elements. I told you to come and you came. You were walking on the water. Why did you not believe? What was it that turned off faith and caused fear to come? I'll tell you what it was. The fear of failing. All of a sudden, he came to his cardinal self, kicked in, and his cardinal self told him, you're not supposed to be doing this. Well, my cardinal self ain't. But see, this is really not who I am. See, I am who is in the inner man of the heart. This ain't nothing but a shell here, nothing but a carrier. Who I am, the essence of who I am, is behind this flesh. Amen. Now let me digress and show you exactly what I'm talking about. When you get old and you can't move like you used to move, and you can't do some of the things you used to do, or if you get afflicted, and you don't have to be old to get afflicted, does that change the essence of who you are on the inside? Does that change your dreams and your desires? Everybody want to be happy. Everybody wants somebody to love them. If you're in your right mind, everybody want to go to heaven. So does that change the essence of who you are because you have some handicaps, some issues? No, it don't. And so the thing we have to understand is we must understand if God says we can do it and God said we can have it, we can do it and we can have it. Amen. And we must respond that way. So the Lord asked him, he said, Peter, why did you doubt? And his flesh said, because he ain't supposed to be doing that. He's not supposed to be walking on the water. Jesus said he was supposed to walk on the water. Can I tell you something? You're not supposed to be broke and busted. You're not supposed to have your blood pressure run up because you start getting fearful of stuff that's going on around you. Amen. Start having anxiety attacks. Start giving up on life because folk ain't treated you right. Or you start looking at how the economy is and go to wondering about everything. No, that is time to really stretch out even more so on God. Now check this out. They had nothing to fear except fear itself because Jesus wasn't the one to be feared. Here Jesus is walking on the water, and the Bible said they got afraid. They began to get disturbed and upset, and they began to, responding in the wrong way. And then when they realized it was Jesus, all of a sudden they said, oh, that's Jesus. Now just look at that thing. When they came to the realization of who it was, all of a sudden they became calm. Can you fathom this? If you ever realize who you are, then you can become calm. And then do what you need to do. When they recognized that was Jesus, Peter said, Lord, I won't come out that way yet. And the Lord said, come on. And he didn't even give it a second thought. He just started walking on the water. You need to become conscious of who you are. And the only way that's going to happen, you got to change the culture of your mind. The word culture means a shared belief. Not necessarily the right belief, but a shared belief. And because we're in a cardinal body and we're around cardinal influences, we're beginning to embrace the culture, the belief of the culture, instead of the belief of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can say it if you want to. I'm telling you, and you have to be careful of this, your surroundings can cause you to miss what God has for you. The people around you, the atmosphere that you're in, it can hinder you and hamper you and even restrict you from doing the stuff that God wants you to do. Because folk will be around telling you, you can't do that. And they'll start sowing stuff in your mind. What if you fail? You can do it, but what if you fail? What then? And so, we must change the way we think by changing the culture of our mind. Jesus. He said, Peter, why are you doubting? God told Joshua, he said, only be of good courage. Why would God have to tell Joshua, only be of good courage? He already told him, I'm going to be with you. And already gave him the guidelines. He said, now you can't let the words of this book depart out of your mouth. You got to do what this book tell you to do. And if you'll do it, I'll bless you. I'll be with you. I won't leave you. But he had to repeatedly go back and tell Joshua over and over again, be of a good courage. Only. I can't leave the word. Only be of a what? Good courage. It's not failure. It's the fear of failing that is stymieing most of us. And I come to tell you today, it's time to come out of that quandary. Come out of that mindset. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Accept what the Lord says about you and not what your conditions say about you. You might be broke and don't have two pennies to rub together, but your Father is rich in houses and land. He holds the world in the palm of his hand. God is not broke. Neither is his coffers. And I'm telling you something. In one moment, God can change your circumstances, your situations. One moment, Jonah was in the bell, in the belly of the whale, and he was down there moaning and groaning and repenting. Before he knew it, he was up on the beach. God can deliver in a moment. Lazarus was, amen. One of the old preachers said Lazarus was up in heaven talking to Peter and James and John, and one of the angels heard a noise come out of the earth. And the angel reached over and waved his hand toward Lazarus and Peter and James. He waved his hand, crawled. I don't know about all that stuff, you know, because I thought Peter and James and all them were still living. But you know, I understood the analogy. You know what I'm talking about? I understood what he was trying to say. You know, he said the angel just waved his hand, said, hush! And was a hush went over the room, and Lazarus started listening to him. And in a moment, I'm talking about, dead, stinking, been in the grave 4 days. Rigor mortis and set in. Body broke down. Stinking now. Worms eating him. And then all of a sudden, good God Almighty, something come happen out of the tomb, out the graveyard. God can change your situation just like that. Boy sitting up in the church and he listening to what was going on, service got long, he went to sleep and fell out the balcony, and the Bible said broke his neck. And the preacher went over, grabbed him, and laid his hands on him, and back to life. Dead as a doorknob, and then all of a sudden, back to life. I was listening to Pastor Hinton, and he was testifying, and he said he was in a meeting with Bishop Clemens, and he said that Bishop Clemens had got up and testified about one of his members, and he said there was a little lady in the church, and she was good friends with one of the mothers. And she would go to see her on a regular basis because she worked in the same hospital that she was in. And she got there one Sunday afternoon to see her after service was over with and got in there, and the little sister had died. The sheet was over her face. And they saw her coming, and they said, wait a minute, Patsy. She said, the mother's gone on in now. She left a little while ago, and we're sorry to tell you. And she said, no, it can't be. And she said, yes, she is. And so she run into the room after hearing the word. See, you got to understand something. You know, when you hear the word that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. After she heard the word that Sunday morning, she went on in, and she rolled the mother over on her stomach and hit on the back and said, you got to come back. It ain't time to go now. Just a few minutes later, the mother coughed she threw her hands up and said, thank you, Jesus. Now you got to understand something. She testified and said she threw her hands out and said, thank you, Jesus, and came back to life. Now look. In the doctor said she was dead, but God said, roll her over, hit her on the back, and she'll come back. Now, it wasn't so much for them because they knew what God was capable of doing, but it was for the folk that was around them. Amen. All of a sudden, now the doctor's sitting there saying, we pronounced her dead, but she ain't now. And so it started flowing throughout the hospital. Amen. Everybody started saying, the God that Sister Pastor served, that's the real God. Because we had pronounced this woman dead, pulled the sheet over. Amen. We was getting ready to put the tag on the toe and take her to the mall. The reason why some of us won't pray, it ain't that we don't believe in prayer. We're just afraid of failing. We're just afraid of praying and it don't happen. We'll feel embarrassed. Look, let me tell you something. You can't bring nobody back from the dead anyhow. Just obey. Ain't got nothing to do. You don't have no strength to do nothing. Just obey. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. When we respond to the word, and God told Joshua, he said, only if you will just obey the words. Look at it here. In the 8th verse of the first chapter of the book of Joshua, skip all the way down. Amen. He said in verse number 8, he said, this book of the law, in essence, my commandments, my ordinances. He said, if you don't let them depart out of your mouth, and if you meditate on them, if you observe to do what they tell you to do, then I'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. And we're going to do what God has called us to do. We got to move from a new dimension, move into a new dimension of thinking, a new dimension of relating to things. And we got to learn how to just obey God and do what he tells us to do, and in turn, the Lord will bless us. I'm telling you, amen. A couple of weeks ago, some of y'all didn't have jobs, but we finna create some jobs, because I'm going to need some daycare workers. I'm going to need a janitorial crew, a yard crew. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, when we go in this place, in this new subdivision, and those folks see the life that we have over there, we're going to have to go to 3 or 4 services instead of 1 service on Sunday. Amen. I'm going to have to get me a new crew of ushers. Get me another musician. And get me a guitar player and a saxophone player. And might get me a trumpet player. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. Had to get me another choir director, because I ain't going to have time to direct no choir then. Oh, I can't get no help with this. Bless the name of the Lord. Get me a full-time secretary. Anybody got some secretarial skills here? Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, we finna go into hiring business. We finna hire some folk. Amen. You know why? Because God has said it's time to come out of your comfort zone and to step out on faith. Amen. So the things that's been restricting us, we're going to have to attack them things. We're going to have to attack that albatross. And you can't live around my neck. Amen. We must change the way we think by changing the culture of our mind. Amen. Why would Peter do what he did? And why would Joshua do what he did? Why would these things manifest themselves in their lives? It's because they were intimidated by the culture and really didn't trust in their Lord the way they should. The culture had too much influence over them and on them. Their fears from past failings and the failings of others spoke too loudly in their lives. That's why you have to be careful of the people that you pull into your inner circle, because they can very well influence you in a negative way into doing what God has called to be done. And so with all that being said, with that in mind, it brings us to the theme that I'm going to use for this year. And the theme for this year is, we must change the culture of the locker room. We must change the culture of the cathedral. We must change the culture of the mindset of the saints. In essence, God's saying we must change the culture wherever we are. So if you're on the job, you got to change the culture. Those things that influence you. If you're at home studying your Bible, you got to change the culture at the house. If you're in the cathedral, you got to change the culture of how you think and how you perceive things to be. Amen? Bless the name of the Lord. We got to learn how to do what we need to do so we can get what we want to have. And I said this before. One of the things that we're going to have to incorporate into our church services as well as into our lives is we're going to have to learn how to deal with
distractions. Everybody say distractions. Amen. No matter what they are, we're going to have to learn how to deal with them and not let them negatively influence us. I said this before and I'll say it again. If I can block out stuff that comes to make me lose my train of thought, you can do it. God ain't no respected person. God will give us what we need in order for us to be able to succeed. Amen. And you can do what you want to do if you really want to do it. And so our theme for the year is we must change the culture. Everybody say we must. Change the culture. We must change our surroundings. Amen. We must change our mindset. We must change the locker rooms of life. We must usher in a heavenly hunger for faith, family, and the fundamental beliefs in the miracle working power of our miraculous God. Amen. Let me say that again. We must change the culture of the locker room. The locker rooms of life, wherever they may be. We must usher in a heavenly hunger for faith, family, and a fundamental belief in the miracle working power of our miraculous God. We must escort out, renounce, and part company with the old way of thinking. We must confess to God we want complete separation from the stage of life where the old man, the old cardinal way of thinking and doing things dominates, enslaves, and imprisons us. We want to part company with that part of our life. We want to separate ourselves from that stage of our life. We must work to affect, embrace, and implement the intents of the owner. And the owner is God. And if we don't, we will be replaced. As God ordained change agents, we must give birth to change and nurture change. And if we don't do it, our role in the church will be reduced to that of a cheerleader or a fan. And that's where a lot of people in the church are now. They're merely nothing but cheerleaders. They're not shakers and movers. Ordained change agents that God has called us to be. We'll just come to church and raise our hands and wave, but we won't give like we're supposed to give. We won't make sacrifices like we're supposed to make sacrifices. See, fans and cheerleaders, all they do is sit up in the stands and wave at the ball players and holler, you know. But they can't really affect anything out on the field because they are not players. They are not change agents. It's not in their capacity to alter the state of the game. Now, I understand this thing about momentum, but I've been at a mini games and played in a mini games, and the home crowd got boisterous and we still lost. I can't get no help. Because we just had, you know, players that, you know, were under par. They just didn't have the talent that they needed to have in order to compete. You know, you can get hyper and have momentum and it lasts for a little while, but I tell you what, Omo will go where the stuff is happening at too. He has a way of going to where, you know, the shifters are at, the ones who can shift the atmosphere. And so I don't want you to be reduced down to that of a cheerleader, just a fan, amen, somebody who don't have anything to do with the inner workings of the church or the body of Christ. That's why we must learn how to deal with this thing called fear. And so with that being said, let's go back to the text and I'm getting ready to close. I'm coming to my closing. So here Jesus is. Go with me first and foremost to the 14th chapter of St. Matthew's, and then we'll close out here in Joshua. But in the 14th chapter of St. Matthew's, the Bible said in the 22nd verse that Jesus told his disciples, get in the ship. In essence, he basically told them, I don't want y'all hanging out with me. I have something that I got to do. And so the Bible said he constrained them. In essence, he put a demand on them. Y'all get in the ship and go to the other side. And so in verse 22, he gives them instructions. Now, God has given us the same instruction. He said, now, what I need you to do is occupy till I come. He said, what I've told you to do is I need you to go and make disciples of men. He has given us instructions. He said, I need you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In essence, he said, I want you to take this God spell, this gospel to a dying world and cause all men and women to come to know me in a real way. And so the Bible said that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Everybody say alone. He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now, how many of you know when God tells you to do something, amen, it seems, you got to understand something. When God tells you to do something, the devil is going to come to try and stop you from doing it. The Lord told him, he said, I need y'all to go on the other side. And here they are trying to obey God and go on the other side and do what they're supposed to do. But here comes the devil. And so he's trying to hinder them and hamper them from doing what God wants done. And so here is a storm that arises. And the enemy, he's trying to, put fear in their lives. He's trying to stop them and hinder and hamper them from doing what God. Have you ever felt that way sometime? Soon as you think you've heard from the Lord and he's told you what to do, just as soon as you put your hands to do it, amen, the storms of life start coming. You get sick. Somebody around you gets sick. Jobs start acting funny. People in your family start acting funny. Amen. Money get funny. Amen. Cars start clowning. Amen. Get the church and the saints crowning. And here you is. You're just trying to do what God wants you to do. And all of a sudden, it just seemed like all hell break loose. And so here they are just trying to do what God wanted them to do. And the Bible said, verse number 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The conditions around them now are starting to break down. And so look at what's trying. And in the fourth, why Jesus said, wait a minute here. They've been struggling throughout the night. I believe it's time to go down and help my children. I want you to know something. The Lord is privileged to what's going on in your life. And if you'll just hang on and hold on before it's too late, God will show up. They used to coin this phrase, he may not come when you want him. Most of the time, he don't come when you want him to come. But I want you to know something. He's never late. He's always on time. And when he shows up, it's always the right time. Amen. Amen. David said, but the Lord. Amen. God will show up when you need him to show up. And here they are. And then the Lord looking, he said, oh, wait a minute. I need to get out of them up here. And then the fourth why Jesus went unto them walking on the water. And the Lord said, I need to make haste. I can't get in another boat and get over there, so I just got to walk on the water because they need me right now. I see their faith is failing them. Amen. Jesus saw this albatross that was around their neck, and he was coming to kill it once and for all. And so here he is walking on the sea, walking on the water, and when the disciples saw it, and you got to understand something. That's why you need to be careful, child of God. Look at somebody and say, be careful. Because you may think the person that's coming is your enemy. It's somebody that hurts you or harm you. And many times, because we are not privileged, and we're not operating in the right frame of mind because we're operating by the rudiments of this culture. We see the people who God has sent to help us as people sent to hinder us. I was talking to a lady that was a member of our church at one time. Amen. And I told her, I said, let me explain something to you. I am not here to hinder you. I am here to help you be the best person that you can possibly be. But if you don't get over this bitterness, it will kill you. It will poison your soul, and it will keep you unhappy forever. It will imprison you and put you in a dungeon, and you'll never be able to come out of it. So you got to trust me. I'm not your enemy. I'm your helpmate. I'm somebody that God spiritually has placed in your life to get you out of the dungeon of life. Because she refused to obey and to listen, she embraced the mindset of the culture. And she thought of me as a threat and a hindrance instead of a help. And so I could not help her. Well, guess what? The same thing transpired right here. Here are the disciples. They see Jesus out there. And instead of them getting happy, say, oh, Jesus, he's come to help us. All of a sudden they say, ah, a ghost, something scary.
something to hinder me is coming at me. So the Bible said when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Now, y'all thought I was just, you know, being dramatic. But that's what they did. They hollered. They cried out for fear. Oh, what do you do when you're afraid? You can be walking and somebody jump behind the bus and say, "Booyah!" I was watching America's Greatest Bloopers and Bleepers the other night, and this man was sitting on the porch. He's dressed up like a skeleton, a scarecrow or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And he had a candy bowl in his lap. And the people would come get the candy. He would jump up and scare them. They would jump off the thing, you know. Some would take off running and everything. So he was sitting there laying back like he was dead, like old scarecrow. That's what he was, a scarecrow. He had the bowl of candy in his hand. And so the man and another man walked up, and they was getting candy for their children. So he reached down in the bowl, and he said, "Rah!" Jumped up the man and said, "Bam!" He punched it. He rolled out the chair, rolled out on the bed. He's holding it, oh! He cold cocked them. I cried. I laughed. I fell off the couch. I rolled on the floor. I was crying. I said, "Lord, have mercy. I can't believe this." Sometimes, amen, you will end up hitting the people that you. I'm just trying to let you see another angle. And walking on the water, they was troubled. The Bible said they say it's a spirit. 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 And they cried out for fear, the Bible said. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Jesus said, ho. Jesus said, "Hold up. Hold up. There's no reason to be afraid. It's me." Then they recognized that voice and that authority, that power. All of a sudden, it snatched them back to reality, and then they began to look past that fear, and they said, "That's Jesus." And the Bible said, all of a sudden, there was a calm. You could see it. He said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And then that fear was lifted. And let me tell you something. He that is calling you to step out by faith is Jesus, not me. And so there's no reason to be afraid. Put one foot in front of the other and just walk. Bible believers, we're going to drive over on that property, and we're going to look at that church today. Don't nobody get afraid. Don't nobody embrace fear. Don't nobody say, "What if we don't get it? What if we do get it?" See, we cannot allow ourselves to be controlled or inhibited by fear. Maybe we don't have the money to pay $499,000 for. As a matter of fact, the property was appraised at over $1 million. They don't want but $499 for it. We got equity already. We can go in the place, don't put a quarter down, and use the equity in the property to renovate it. God knows what he's doing. That's why he sets stuff up. And so when he opens a door, we can't go there and close it talking about, "I'm scared. I know. What if we don't make it? What if we fail?" No. That's not what God is saying. And so God said, "Tell my people it's not failure, it's the fear of failing." Quit tripping. Don't lie. You're afraid you're going to fail. That's what it is. And so here they are. And in the moment that they realized that it was Jesus, Peter said, "Hey, Lord, if that's you, let me come. I'd like to come out there where you at. I want to do, in essence, what you're doing. I want to do what I've been created to do." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come into the water." And Jesus said, "This is supposed to be your demeanor. This is supposed to be your character. This is supposed to be what's, amen, a part of your psyche. To be where I'm at." That's all Peter wanted. He wasn't trying to do it to be a wonder. He just wanted to go out there where Jesus was at. There were no underlying constraints associated with this. He wanted to go where Jesus was. And so he said, "Lord, if that's you, let me come." And Jesus said, "Come on." And the Bible said straightway, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he did what?" What did he do? He walked on the water. He stepped out that boat on that unstable stuff that you ain't supposed to walk on, and he was walking on it. In essence, he had the ability, he had the power to do it as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord and he believed in God. We have the power to do the miraculous. The stuff that carnal people can't fathom in their mind. When we put our eyes on the Lord, when we believe what God says and not what our circumstances and conditions and surroundings are saying, we can do what God has told us to do. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his, not mine, not my bank account, not who I know, but according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. And so we can have what God has for us if we will just use our faith. And so he just stepped out on the water. Something that was unnatural to his carnal frame of mind. Something that was not in his everyday repertoire. Amen. But he heard what Jesus said and he obeyed him. And when he had his eyes on him and just was fixated on what Jesus was saying, walking on the water. Now you got to understand something. The Bible said he walked. So he took more than one step. I can't get no help with this. And so there was some continuous motion until. The wrong senses kicked in. All of a sudden he went back to his cardinal self instead of walking by faith. Now this takes us straight to Joshua. Come on back over here. And I'm finna close right now. Lord have mercy. I wish I had a few more minutes, but I just got to bring this thing on in. Now notice here. The Lord told Moses, told Joshua, he was rehearsing some things in him. He was building his faith up. He's letting them know. First chapter of the book of Joshua, turn over there, look at verse number 2. Now God's saying, now I want you to know something. Just like Moses is dead, you can't look unto him any longer. You cannot take a back seat to him any longer. You must step out and you got to do what I have created you to do. Can I tell you something? You, mama is gone on now. Daddy is too. Amen. You got your own place. You're driving in your own car. You're working on your own job right now. You got to take care of your own bills right now. God is saying Moses is out of the picture now. This between me and you. You old enough now to bear your own sins. You know right from wrong now. You cognizant of right and wrong. Now this thing between me and you now. And so he was letting them know. He said Moses is dead. He said, but I want you to understand something. I just need you to arise and go over this Jordan. Yes, I want you to arise and go over this Jordan. Can I break it down? Bible believers got a great work to do. And I want you, Wilma Bird. Don't you be worrying about Antoine and Cheryl and Monique and Quentin. I want you, Wilma Bird, to do what I have told you to do. Don't be worried about nobody else. I'm talking to you. How many times we look around and talking about, well, Linda ain't doing it. It ain't got nothing to do with Linda. I'm talking to you, Cheryl. Minister, I'm talking to you. Elder, I'm talking to you is what God's saying. See, I want you to arise and go over this Jordan. I don't want you to take them folk with you. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want to tell you something. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, I give it unto you just like I said I'd do it unto Moses. Amen. The same thing I told Moses I'd do for him, I'll do it for you. Amen. I'm God and I change not. That's right. Amen. So I can't fail. The only failure is in you if you don't obey and believe. Right. And so he skips up, keep on down to verse number 5. He said, let me tell you something, son. I'm trying. And so he started working on his psyche. He started building him up on his most holy faith. Verse number 5, he said, therefore shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. My God. Now God's sitting here talking to me saying, son, let me tell you something. Don't you worry about what them hypocrites say. I know they done drug your name through the street. They done said all kind of stuff about it. But he said, I don't want you fixating on that. I want you fixating on what I told you. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. He said right here, he said, thou shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Look at verse 4 and verse 14 quickly. Turn over there. Chapter 4 and verse 14. And on the day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they did what feared Moses. When you do what God tells you to do. Amen. all the men to fear you as well as those that's supposed to follow you. They say, I know that's a God man. I know that's a God woman. I got to reverence him. I have to obey and submit myself to him, because in doing so, I'll be blessed. Amen. And I'll have good success too. What's on him will come on me. Amen. Let me tell you something. Amen. I'm just not up confessing some stuff, trying to look like a wonder. God told me, he said, son, I'm going to give you a place where you can work out your soul salvation, and the things I have placed in your heart can come into fruition. And so God's just doing what he said, because I've been faithful to what he told me. Amen. And a man called me up on the phone the other day. He was talking. I said, look, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to play games to get folks in the church. Amen. I'm going to do it the right way. And if God don't pay off, so be it. Amen. But I'm not going to play games. Amen. You can't come in this church and you want to be a usher in the church and you sleeping around with everybody in the church. You want to be a deacon in the church and you got a wife and 4 or 5 sweethearts in the church. Won't be a deacon and you've been out carousing all last night and you're going to get out and pray and bring us to the throne of grace. The devil is a lie. You won't pray up in here. You can come, but you sure won't pray. Amen. You can find the altar, but you won't pray unless you're repenting. I can't get no help. Amen. Amen. Funny, got a husband and a wife. On the organ. Funny as a $2 bill. Amen. Homosexual spirit all over you. I just got to digress for a moment and let y'all know what time it is. See, you can let all kind of stuff in, but the Lord asked me something one day. He said, son, if you let all that stuff in, you're not going to have saints. You're going to have bulldogs and coyotes, crocodiles, wolves all up in here. And he said, they're going to kill the sheep. You just can't let anything in the house and everything. Amen. Right. We're sheep. Amen. And so if you bring anything in, it'll kill the sheep. That's why the nature of the sheep is gone. You can come to church now and folks just as mean as a graveyard dog. And them graveyard dogs is some mean rascals. I can't get no help with this, though. Amen. You come into church and they growl and hear the program. They ask, get on up in the church. Go, sit down somewhere. Stand at the front door and I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. What is all this right here? I'm coming into church. I'm smiling. Hey, how y'all doing? Well, good morning. Come on, baby. Move out of the way. Other folks coming in, ain't nobody behind me. I'm the only one up here at the door. I got up there and sat down. I said, just as soon as I get a chance to raise my left finger, I'm getting up out of here. Go to the bathroom and run right on out the back door and get on out. Praise the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. Experience it firsthand. And then I had some just grinning and smiling. Hey, hey. And I knew they ain't want me. I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. Just grinning and smiling behind that at the Joker's mask was the real one, you know. And I could see behind that thing. I'm like, what is that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so verse number 5 says, there shall not any man be able to do what? Stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here he goes. He's building up on his most holy faith. Listen to me, child of God. The Lord is saying, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto thy fathers to give. God said, you're getting ready to be blessed. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Bible believers, this is our time. Let's maximize this moment. Let's step out by faith. Amen. Let's not be concerned about what the devil is saying or what the winds are saying, amen, or what the circumstances are saying, amen, or what the crowd is saying. Let's just step out by faith. Because the devil will always change his game. First thing he'll tell you, you can't have it. When he get it, he'll tell you, you can't do nothing with it. Uh-huh. All right, you got the church now, but ain't nobody coming. And so when you get the crowd, he'll tell you, well, you got the crowd now, but what you gonna do with them? And then you start doing something with them, and then you start talking about the flaws in the folks that's doing the shake, that doing the shaking and the moving and doing something. He always gonna come up with something to talk about. And so that's why we cannot be moved by those things. Amen. It's not failure, it's the fear of failing. What God is saying. And God's saying, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. And so I don't need you to react to it. And so here God is in my clothes. He's pumping. Joshua up, so to speak. He's letting them know. He said, look, these are the things that you need to do in order to be successful, in order to carry out my command, in order to fulfill the mandate that's on your life, in order to be the person that I created you. He said, these are the principles that I need you to apply. And so when you start looking at the text here, amen, verse number 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous. And then he tells him again, he said, observe to do according to all the law. He tells them, turn not to the right hand nor to the left hand. He said, if you don't turn to the left or to the right, but if you stay in the center of my will, he said, you'll prosper. And whithersoever, wherever you go, you'll prosper. Then he tells them here in verse number 8, he said, because you've obeyed my word and done what I've told you to do, you're going to make your way prosperous. So it starts out by saying, God said, I'll make you prosperous if you obey. And then God says, you'll make your way prosperous if you commit yourself to what I've called you to do. And so that's what we're going to have to do. Don't be trying to think for me. I'm the pastor. You think for you what you're supposed to do. If you're a sheep, if you're an usher, if you're a deacon, if you're a doorkeeper, if you're a psalmist, whatever you are, a lay member, amen, you think and do what it is God has called you to do, and then in turn support what God has called me to do. And in so doing, I'm telling you, we're going to be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. So God said, tell my people, son, it's not failure, it's the fear of failing. And once Joshua got over, amen, the fear of failing, then he could reign and do what God had called him to do. And so all of a sudden now, Joshua is walking in his ordained place. All of a sudden now, as I come to my close, Joshua gets his rightful place. And the Bible said that he stepped out after getting the commands from God and told the priests what they should do. And so they walked down into the water. And the river receded. And the people were able to go over on the other side. Now look at the miraculous that's happening here now. And so the waters receded and the children of Israel walked over on dry ground. And all of a sudden the folks saying, wait a minute, I know we got the right man now. See, we were standing at this Red Sea of life. We were standing at this River Jordan, amen, and we didn't know how we were going to get over on the other side, but the man of God came to it and said, peace be still. Get out of the way. Come here, priest. Walk down in that water, and it's going to back up. And all of a sudden, the people said, oh, we got a leader now. The people got saying, wait a minute here. He knows what to do. Maybe he's getting instructions from on high. Maybe this is a God man. And so all of a sudden, when the water receded and Joshua said, hey, come on, we're going over. The people said, we got a God man. And they just walked right on over. And the Bible said the people went over on dry land. And then after all the people got on the other side, amen, then he reached over and he told them, he said, now, priests, Levites, y'all come on out the water. And soon as they stepped out of the water and got on dry land, the Bible said the river came together and then overflowed its banks. And then the people were standing on the side saying, we got us a God man here. We got to fear this man right here because this man know what he's doing. He's in fellowship with God. Believe we got us a leader. Come on, let's get behind him. And the Bible said all the days of his life that nobody came up against him and was victorious. He was victorious in every campaign he went on. And the Bible said after a period of time that God gave him peace with even his enemies. His enemies said, that's a man of God. We ain't going to fool with him. Y'all go on somewhere else. When we get to the point where failure is not an option, then fear has no stronghold in our lives. Amen. When we get to the point where we say, I will not fail. Amen. I might fall down, but I'm going to get back up. Amen. Because the steps of a righteous man or a righteous woman are ordered from the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I might fall down, but I'm going to get back up because failure is not an option. Amen. I got a God to glorify. I got an ordinance, amen, that I got to live by, amen. I got a word that cannot fall to the ground, but it's got to accomplish that which my God has pleased. And so I got to get back up and get on the battlefield and keep on fighting for my Lord, amen. Because there's a bloodstained banner, amen, that I want to raise high and let the world know, yeah, you killed him, but he rose again, and he's my king now. and soon to be your coming king. And so he tells him, and I got to close. He said, if it's not failure, son, tell my people. He said, it's not failure that you're dealing with, but it's the fear of failing. So we got to understand that's not an option. We will not fail because God has said that we can't fail if we obey that book of the law. Observe to do what he has commanded us to do. And then we will make our way prosperous. Everybody standing, I got to quit. Everybody standing. Oh, God. Oh, God, hear the word of the Lord. And so I come against fear today. I come against doubt. I come against unbelief. I come against the rudiments of the enemy. I come against those things that come to hinder and to bind and to cause our hearts to fail us. Father, I bind the spirit of fear and doubt and unbelief now in the name of Jesus. I curse it at the root and command it to die and pass from everyone's life in this building today. And I pray that the faith of the Son of God will come alive in us and arrest our hearts and cause us to be more than conquerors. I pray for the faith of the Son of God to come alive. I pray for the faith of the Son of God to come alive in us right now in the name of Jesus. And for us to know that God's word cannot return void. And because his word must accomplish that which he pleases, we stand today with all assurance and confess, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.